Shawty, you know the vibes. When I hop in the ride, you better be ready when I pull outside. Baby, you know the vibes, baby. Baby, you know the vibes. Coming live from the 6-1, you hold the 5.
What's going on, travel fam? It's your main man, Just GQ, and you are tuned in to another episode of The Travel Guys, the podcast dedicated to making travel easy for everyday people like you and me. Got a great episode today because we are talking about falling in love with travel. So in previous seasons and earlier episodes, for those who are new to the Travel Guys podcast, I used to ask all of my guests, a la Brown Sugar, because that is a great movie and a really phenomenal period of time in cinema as well, in those mid-2000s, early-2000s era. But shout out to Brown Sugar and shout out to Sanaa Lathan also. However, I always used to ask my guests, when did you fall in love with travel? Because I think that that's something that is pivotal. I think it is transformative. I think that it is something that we should discuss, because people travel for different reasons. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people travel for learning purposes. I'm someone who, I didn't really like history when I was in school and when I was learning about it. But experiencing history feels different. There's a different engagement level. There's a different relevance. And I can apply what I have learned and see it in real life and see it in the situation, or in situ, if you will. And that makes it more dynamic for me. There are other people who travel for food. There are people who travel for unique experiences and to be uncomfortable and to get out of their element. There are people who travel to flex, to be quite honest. You know what I mean? I think that especially in the era of Instagram and TikTok and all of these social sharing apps, like that's the double-edged sword with sharing your travels, is that it inspires people, but it doesn't necessarily inspire them to travel purely and or for pure reasons, I should say. And I'm not really convinced that that's a bad thing, to be all the way honest. Sometimes you have to experience things on the front end, and then you've had that experience, and then you can reflect on it on the back end. And from there, you can either lean into the reasons that you were already traveling, or you can shift and you can change it up, or you can travel to different destinations that evoke different emotions for you. That being said, the answers are always different. There's always some different catalyst that sparked their love of travel, or maybe they were traveling and then they went to a destination that unlocked something unique for them. I think for me, that's something, and I'll talk about this in a separate short episode, but that was South Africa for me. South Africa was a bit of an awakening, spending time in Joburg, spending time in Cape Town, being in Africa for the first time was really and truly transformative for me and delivered a lot of perspective. It dispelled a lot of myths that I had heard just in terms of the relationship between Africans and African Americans, and just seeing it for my own eye, for myself, experiencing and building relationships with brothers and sisters in Africa. I think that it was transformative. Like, it just really, it shifted the way that I think and the way that I, and like my, honestly, like my list, like I was like, I need more of this. I need to get back to Africa. I need to explore other countries within the continent. I need to hit North Africa. I need to hit West Africa. I need to hit East Africa. I need to, you know, I need to see it all. And so it awakened a hunger within me. I was able to learn about Nelson Mandela a little bit more, going back to the history piece, visiting Robben Island, and but yeah, I'll save that for that episode as well. However, the question of the day is, when did you fall in love with travel? And for me, I think that there's a bit of a story that I'll give you as lead up before going into the actual trip or the actual experience that made me fall in love with travel. So for me, I'm someone who has, I'm a big fan of language. I studied Spanish through elementary school and middle school for a little while in high school, and then picked it back up in college. And I'm someone who has always flirted with fluency, but has never quite gotten over the hump fully. Like, you could drop me off and very conversational. You could drop me off and I'd be cool. I could maneuver around. However, I've only tapped fluency probably like a couple times within my lifetime, where I was like, okay, now I'm smooth. Like, I could move around fully. But at the first time I went abroad, like skipped a body of water, was going into high school, where there was a youth group that organized a trip for students to go to France and Spain, because we had been studying French and Spanish. And in that instance, I went over there and it was cool. You know what I mean? Like, I went to Paris, we went to France first. I did not like France. I did not like Paris at all. They were mean. I got pickpocketed on the first day. And so it just really made me, it just put a bad taste in my mouth. And then we went to Barcelona. And I did really enjoy my time in Spain. And I just remember being like, oh, I want to come back here. I couldn't fully appreciate it, but it definitely expanded my mind and made me curious. It made me want to go back over there, made me want to see more, made me want to experience more. So I go through high school and I don't travel much, playing sports and busy with school and being just, you know, a teenager. And then when I go to college, I'm very eager to pick that back up, because I have heard about study abroad programs. I've heard about people being able to see the world, quite frankly, and that's something that I'm interested in. So I don't know how many of y'all know this. I played football in college, and so that was outlawed, honestly. Like, when I was coming up, where you couldn't skip a summer, you couldn't skip a semester, because that would put you behind on the field. And so it was basically like, you know, have a transformative cultural experience, or, you know, forget about any playing time. And honestly, like, I mean, I don't know what that would have done. I just don't know. I don't know. I didn't really test the limits necessarily, but that was something that, like, was not entertained. So all that did was fueled my desire to see more, because as I was an international business and Spanish minor. And so, you know, I was very much in language, learning about Spanish history and all of that. And it was just making me curious to see more. So for me, I ended up going to grad school after, and got a more of a taste of going to a couple international destinations. Went to Brazil. That was the first time I had touched South America. Went to India, which was the first time I went to Asia, and was an interesting experience in and of itself, which is something that I'll talk about in another episode also. India was wild, but we have more to come on that. But when I truly fell in love with travel, so I was working through grad school, which was 2 years, and I saved up all my money, and that I didn't have to, you know, pay my bills with. And at the end of graduation, like, one of my boys, or just before graduation, I should say, one of my boys came up to me and was like, yo, you trying to move to South America for the summer? And I was like, oh, word? I was like, I had never really even thought about that, for real, you know what I'm saying? But it sounds interesting. Sounds like something I'm curious about, something I would enjoy. And I was like, you know, I don't know if in this particular friend, shout out to Todd, he was very more adventurous than I was at the time. You know what I mean? This man got dropped off in rural South Africa and hitchhiked his way to Joburg. That is the type of cat that Todd is. So Todd's a bit of a wild boy. So I knew I wasn't ready for that, but I was ready for something. And I was like, how you feel about Europe? So with Europe, one, there were a few things that made me shift there, and while my comfort level was increased. One, Europe is very westernized. So being able to be in somewhat familiar surroundings, at least aesthetically, and the customs aren't, you know, totally different. Like, a lot, you know, you can maneuver, you can figure it out. They are different, but, like, because it's a different culture, but, like, you can maneuver, you can figure it out. I knew that we would be based in Spain. And so I mentioned I speak Spanish. So I felt comfortable being able to, like, speak the native language, even though people in Europe do speak English. I felt comfortable in that regard. And then I had friends that were over there as well. I had a few friends who were teaching, doing Teach for America. I had a few friends who were just over there teaching English as a second language. I had some friends who were in the arts that were over there performing. So I was like, okay, cool, I'm gonna have some friends over there. So we ended up going over there, and I tell you, I had the time of my life. We spent so much time just exploring and waking up every day and having no agenda, but having all of the possibilities was just something that's a word. That was something that I just really enjoy, man. I let my hair grow out, let my beard grow out, at the time I thought my beard was Drake. It was not. But at the time I felt like it was Drake, bro. And so it was just like the first time in retrospect that I truly felt like freedom, being autonomous over my time, being constantly and consistently stretched from an experiential standpoint, day in and day out. And I loved it. I mean, it was a rush like I had never felt before. And every day, no exaggeration, every day we were over there, at some point Todd or I would look at the other person and be like, this trip was such a good idea. Like, it was just like, it to think that we almost didn't do it was crazy. You know, we stayed over there until our money ran out, and then we came back home. And when we were over there, we hit Spain. We were based in Spain, like I had mentioned, but we ran through Spain. Like, we hit Barcelona, Valencia, Madrid. We hit Sevilla. We hit Ibiza, Mallorca, and I'm missing another major city, but that we hit. But we hit those, and then we went down to, we hit Andorra. We hit, which is a country on the coast of Spain and France, and that is 90% of the reason why we went there, because we knew people wouldn't know it. And then we went to France, we went to Portugal, and then we went to Italy as well. And in Italy, we hit, we were mostly in Milan, but went to Venice, and then also hit Rome as well. And so it was just really transformative, man. It was beautiful. I think one of the more crazy stretch experiences that we had when we were over there, we had gotten put out of our hotel in Valencia. And so we were sitting, because the Airbnb, Todd and the Airbnb host were beefing from like day one, right? And we were only there for like 3 nights. So we ended up meeting some friends, came back. Apparently they had like quiet hours before quiet hours were a thing. And we were not being loud. We were not being rambunctious. We were not, you know, we weren't even turning up like that. But there were some people over there. We were literally just talking. And this cat was like mad. Somebody had snitched on us or whatever. And so promptly, like 6 a.m, it was like, y'all got to go type action. So we were just like, dang, like this wasn't even the motion. Like, this wasn't even what was supposed to happen. So we out there sitting next to a statue, next to like a bullfire ring, and nothing's open because it's, you know, 6 to 6:30 in the morning. And we're like, okay, we got to figure out where the train station is. So we like trying to sitting outside of a McDonald's, siphoning Wi-Fi off the McDonald's so we can figure out where the train station is so we can then go and do that. So we get to the train station and we're going to go to Sevilla because his cousin lives there. But we haven't talked to her. So we just are trying to like get a hold of her or whatever, because we're not supposed to be there for a couple days. So then we take the train to Sevilla. We get off. We try to get a hold of her. Nothing. We try again. Nothing. We try for a smooth like hour and a half, and we're not getting any response back. And we're Wi-Fi warriors at this point. This is not like nobody has service for real. And so we're just like hoping and praying that she's going to answer. She doesn't. Todd and I are sitting looking up at like the big board. They got a big board with all like the destinations and the times where the trains are leaving and everything. And we have Valencia is on the east side of Spain. Sevilla is in the middle of Spain. So we're sitting there and we look up at the ticker, at the big board where it has the schedule of all the trains that are coming in and that are arriving and departing. And Ty looks down at me after we've been sitting there for about 2 hours. I've given up. I'm sitting. I'm on my phone. I'm just like, I'm just here. I'm like, whatever. I'm still tired from the night before. Like, whatever. I ain't even tripping. Ty looks down at me and he was like, you trying to go to Portugal? And I was like, fuck it, man, let's go. Like, we bought a ticket, and then, as I mentioned, Sevilla is in like more like the central part of Spain, south central, and then we just rode the train the rest of the way across Spain and into Portugal. Now, most people, when they go to Portugal, like, you hear about Lisbon a lot, and that's like the popular destination, but one spot that has always had my heart, and a lot of it is because of this trip, is Lagos, Portugal, man. I mean, it is gorgeous. It's like a beautiful little beach town. I mean, just gorgeous coves, like the rock formations around the beaches. It was just beautiful, man. And it was, I just remember sitting outside of our Airbnb, because that was the other piece. When when we bought the train ticket to Portugal, we met these two Aussies that were on there as well. And so they're making stops, and people are like, you know, getting off or whatever. And then the closer we get to Lagos, there's fewer people. And so we get to talking to these two Aussies. Shout out to Tom and Dr. House if y'all listening to this. And we just start chopping it up. We just start talking about everything. They're on holiday, you know, extended holiday. You know, they do it different. They are out here. Tom was out there for a year, I want to say. Dr. House, and he I forget what Buddy's name was for real, but he looked like Dr. House, so that's why we called him that. But he was out there as well. I think he was out there for like 10 months or something like that. And he was actually, Tom was kind of moving around. Like, he was blowing with the wind a little bit at the time. But Dr. House had a real job. Like, he was an accountant, I believe. And he just, like, you know, went on a sabbatical for like 10 months. He was like, I'm gonna travel around, I'm gonna do whatever. And so they ask us, they're like, how long are y'all over here? And we're like, we're over here for, you know, a few months. And they're like, well, what are you going to do? Like, we just graduated from B school. And so, you know, our jobs start in a few months. So we're just over here, like, in the interim. And so they're like, so in America, you guys graduate from university and then you work until you die. And when I tell you, like, I looked at Todd and I was like, yo, that's really how it is, though. Like, and that was like the first earth shattering moment of changing how I thought about the role of work and the role of play, and like being able to integrate the two so that you don't feel like you're having your soul sucked out, to be honest. You know what I mean? Like, it's, and that's something that has lived with me. I will never forget that moment, because I was just like, wow, we really do just work ourselves to death, and we don't really take a lot of time off. A lot of people get, you know, two to four weeks off from work a year, and outside of that, it's just like, you know, 8 to 12 hour days all the time, living for the weekend. And that has just, like, if you're hearing this, I hope that's a constant reminder for you to take your vacation, for you to prioritize your recharge time, your reset time. Make sure that you are getting the experiences that you desire, the experiences that nourish your soul, the experiences that will stretch you and develop you as a person outside of your profession. Because those are the truly important things that unfortunately get deprioritized a lot. And so I think if you know, as you know better, you can do better and can continue to strive to set those goals the same way you set other goals, to manifest those things the way that you manifest personal things, you know. But yeah, I just remember that being like a very transformative experience when I was having that conversation. And I was like, damn, man, we really do just work forever, like, and that's it without stopping. And it's wild. Like, you get a couple of days off of holidays, and I was like, man, it messed me up. It messed me up for real. But so we go to, so as we're getting closer to Lagos, like, we talked to them for probably, like, you know, for a couple of hours, and then they're like, where y'all staying? We're like, we don't know. And so they're like, you want to stay with us? Like, we got a hostel. And we were on hostelworld.com heavy, like, the whole time during that trip. So shout out to hostelworld.com. And we get there, and I just remember this beautiful moment where I'm, the French doors are open to the, which makes it sound a lot fancier than it actually was. It was like two bunk beds with cafeteria floors and like the bare minimum. Like, that was what I learned about hostels during that trip, was like, there's no frills. There's clean, as long as it's clean and nothing's crawling, I'm cool. Like, that's all I need. I need clean space, and I need the bare minimum of like towel, washcloth, a little bit of soap, like all that. Like, I'm cool. Like, I can make that happen. But you know, I'm moving a little differently now, but that let me know, like, okay, when I'm being frugal, like, this is what I won't compromise. I won't compromise cleanliness. I also understand that for a hostel, like, it has a certain role. And it also is not, like, as treacherous as people make it out to be, you know what I'm saying? But I just remember when we were there and the French doors opened up in the hostel, and you're out on the balcony. I had just GQ the blog, my first blog, and I'm writing and I'm listening to music and I'm looking out, and it's just a beautiful day. The city is buzzing. People are walking down to the beach. You can smell the water. You can smell the fresh food from the bakeries that were lining the streets. And it was just such a Zen moment where I was just like, I'm really here. Like, I am really, and I love those moments as well. Like, when you can be reflective in the moment and just be very, not even reflective, just being present in the moment where you're like, man, this is actually happening right now. Like, I am experiencing true beauty in the world outside of my surroundings. Without conflict, I feel accepted. I feel like this was worth it, and I want to do more of it. And those are the moments that I truly crave. So after we concluded the time that we spent abroad in Europe, I came back and I just remember, like, I was like, I cannot wait. Cannot wait to do this again. Like, I did not shut up about that trip for so long, just because I was just like, it had that much of a profound impact on me. And I just truly wanted to share that with people. And ultimately, that was the inspiration for me starting the travel guides. Was because it was like, I have felt this, I have experienced this, and more people need to experience this. And I don't know the barriers necessarily. And so that made me, like, dig into those and realize that a lot of the barriers why people don't travel is, like, time. Either they don't have the time, they don't understand how to maneuver their time from work, money, they think it's too expensive, when in reality, you can go to Cartagena, Colombia for the same amount of money it takes for you to do a weekend in Miami or Vegas. Message. And then it's general xenophobia and, like, fear of the unknown, fear of unfamiliar surroundings. And so when I think about how you get over that, how you can get over being nervous, or getting a trusted source to tell you about what you should expect. Because that's really what it's about. It's about, don't let me be surprised. Don't let me get over here and it be like, and me get into a situation and I don't know how to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's very much, let me be prepared for what I'm about to experience before I experience it. And the best way to find a trusted source is, like, one of your people, like one of your friends who you know is not gonna lie to you. They're not gonna pull any punches. If some stuff is messed up, they're gonna tell you it's messed up. They're gonna tell you to watch out for this. They'll tell you that this might feel a little weird, but it's cool. You can lean in. And I was just like, that's my contribution. That's what I would like to do. And I think that's something that I don't want to be lost, because a lot of times, especially when you look at, like, a lot of the social content that's popular when it's talking about other countries and traveling abroad, it's just very much like, it's a look at me element, you know what I mean? As opposed to this is how you can do this. And so that's a bridge that I feel really passionate about. But yeah, that Euro trip changed my life. No exaggeration at all whatsoever, man. Like, changed my life, changed my perspective on the world, changed how I see things. I don't want to necessarily talk about this, but it was something that, because I can't remember the specifics and it's nothing crazy, but I do remember that was the first time when I realized how Western media spins things, because there was some conflict that was going on in France at the time, and Western media was talking about it, and they were talking about how, like, crazy it was over here and all this stuff. And I was there at the time, and again, I can't remember the specific. However, I remember seeing the news report and being like, that's here, right? And I'm concerned. And they're like, yeah. And they're like, that's that thing that we passed when we were walking over here. And it was like just something very small. But like, they had blown it totally out of proportion. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, this is what really, this is the reality of those news reports. And it made me want to take things with a grain of salt, seek to understand from as accurate of a perspective as I could gain. And so that was really when I started to evolve, like, how I intake news and from various sources and triangulating reports so that you can get to, you can understand like what the common threads are, which likely are the true threads in the whole thing with, you know, context of all the fluff and all the extra partisan language that goes along with it. So yeah, man, I mean, it was just all around. It was just wildly impactful, man. And I encourage all of you, if you have time, if you can make time, get out and see something different, you know, stretch your horizons. When something feels a little scary, like scary from, not from a safety perspective, but scary from a comfort perspective, lean into that discomfort, experience it, prioritize your safety, but don't be afraid to try something new. Because when's the last time you did something for the first time? Message. And I think that's a question I ask myself frequently. And it's a question that I love asking other people, because you got to really think about, when's the last time I did something for the first time where I stretched myself, where I pushed my boundaries, where I made myself uncomfortable, knowing that it would help me to grow as a person. So that'll do it for this episode of The Travel Guides. Thank you for tuning in. Please follow us on Instagram at GQ50, at The Travel Guides, on TikTok at JoshGQ50. And please subscribe if you have not. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Send this episode out. And remember, your next adventure is just a click away. Thanks for listening.